Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele. Glad to be back with you guys. So we got a bunch to get to today. Kyle's not with me today, so I'm going to be flying solo. So lots and lots of stuff to get to. Some interesting stuff, some confident studios, and so we're going to get to all of that. Let's just dive right into it, okay? So our first story, okay, is about a film that's going to be coming out in the middle of next month. So right after Creed 3 and everything else. So this is probably going to be, it's going to be an interesting movie. The first one did very well. And I'm talking about Shazam! Fury of the Gods. So the first one made a whole bunch of money for DC and Warner Brothers and was actually one of the surprises for Warner Brothers. Zachary Levi was amazing in this role. Kyle has seen it. I haven't, but I've seen clips and I hear it's really, really good and it's funny and it's witty and it's got the superhero thing. And so this is the origin of him being Shazam. So our first story comes from The Hollywood Reporter. And as I said, it's going to be opening up in a few weeks. And so Fury of the Gods right now is probably tracking for between $35 to $40 million. So here's the piece. New Line Cinema's Fury of the Gods is tracking for a low-key domestic between $35 to $40 million, according to first projections. Now, mind you, you got to understand, these are very, very, very early projections. I mean, this isn't coming out for another 3 weeks. More bullish box office analysts, however, believe it will match the first film. The movie came on tracking Thursday. Among the services, $35 million is NRG, Hollywood's leading research firm, according to those with the access to the data. Hollywood studios and tracking companies tend to be conservatives in their estimates, as tracking has become fraught in the pandemic era. Numerous movies in recent months have opened well below or above the projections. Shazam! Fury of the Gods opens March 17th. It's the second studio superhero pick of 2023 after Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which debuted last week in theaters across the globe. The first Shazam starred Zachary Levi and Asher Angel in the lead roles debuted domestically at $53.5 million in April 2019. It cost a reported $100 million to produce, far less than a usual Hollywood superhero tentpole. The family-friendly movie topped out at $366 million at the worldwide box office, including $140.5 million domestically and $43.8 million from China. The sequel recently just landed a China release date. The sequel follows Billy Batson, Angel, and her fellow foster kids who are still trying to figure out how to balance teenagers with their alter ego. When the daughters of Atlas, a vengeful trio of gods, arrive on Earth, the kids are thrust into a battle for their superpowers, their lives, and the fate of the world. Shazam! 2 stars franchise's newcomers Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and Rachel Zegler, who take on the roles goddesses Hesban, Caleptin, and Antonis, respectfully. Shazam! 2 is also the first of four DC films that are due to be released this year that was made before James Gunn and Peter Safran took over the co-heads of DC Studios in November and began reshaping the upcoming slate. Safran is a producer. The sequel is the first DC pick to hit theaters since Warner Brothers Discovery chief David Zaslav installed Gunn and Safran. Okay, so I think this is an interesting movie because, first and foremost, it's not your average superhero pick, right? It's your kids having a good time at the theater, coming of age story, but still trying to save the world. And the first one did very well for him. I mean, it made $366 million. So it was one of those you know, I think this performed a lot bigger than they thought. So I think that this is going to be a really good film for them. And it's one of those things where I think that sequels always, and the other thing you got to understand is this, sequels tend to not do as well just because they are sequels. You put out a good flick to start, you want something better, and it's always hard. But I think this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be fine. I don't think it's going to make as much, though, as the original, just because, A, it is a sequel, like I just said, but B, you have Creed 3 coming out in a couple weeks, which, by the way, we'll be covering here on the channel. But, so that'll be coming out 2 weeks prior. I think people are still going to want to go see, you know, Michael B. Jordan and everything else. So, but I right now, 35 to 40 million seems about right. That seems about right. I mean, I don't think they're expecting any more from it than that. So, I mean, the fact that you do have Helen Mirren coming on, you know, that's going to be fun. You know, and Rachel Zegler, who is huge, you know, in West Side Story, and she's done a lot of other projects. So I like this. I think it's going to be a fun movie. I don't think it's going to be, you know, too campy. You're going to have your laughs. And I think it's going to, I think it's going to be a good time. And the other thing, too, is I'll say is this. This is a good start. Like, we've got a couple of other movies coming out after this, right? John Wick 4 and some other ones. So this is exactly what we need right in between a hard-hitting, literally and figuratively, Creed 3, John Wick 4, you know, a nice, fun, lighthearted movie. So I think this is going to do good. Whether Zachary Levi stays on as Shazam is to be said. But yeah, so I mean, it's going to be fun. What do you guys think? Do you think that, you know, Shazam 2 is going to outperform those numbers? Do you think it's going to make less than those numbers? Are you excited for Shazam 2? Are you going to go see it opening weekend, or do you think you're going to wait for the reviews to go see it? Do me a favor. Leave me your thoughts down in the comments, and I'll get back to you. Okay, so let's move on to the next story. So our next story goes from, we were just talking about Shazam 2, and this is about a film that is going to be coming up. And this is going to be, I think it's going to be a film that everybody's looking forward to. And so, and that is Killers of the Flower Moon. I think this was a film that was long awaited. Apple TV has now hit their stride with not only their television shows and, like, you know, what they have. So here's the reason why this is prevalent, okay? So Martin Scorsese, according to Variety, so the piece goes that Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon is eyeing a Cannes Film Festival debut. So Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, is eyeing a world premiere at the Cannes Film Festival, potentially giving the annual celebration of cinema to one of the glitziest red carpet bows in its eight-decade history. The Apple TV movie, which was pursued by both Venice and Cannes toppers, may ultimately be unveiled in the south of France. Of course, there could still be a last-minute change of plans by the time the lineup is unveiled. It looks promising enough that Scorsese has reserved a suite at one of the posh hotels along the river, sources tell Variety. So Cannes director is preparing a massive 2023 edition and traveled to Los Angeles earlier in the month to screen Scorsese's movie and discuss other potential Hollywood titles. Alberto Barbera, Venice's artistic director, was in town at the same time taking meetings with studio bosses, which led to an awkward situation, even though they didn't bump into each other, an industry insider said. Sources caution, however, that no formal offer has been made from Cannes, and there is no final decision about whether Scorsese and company will embark on a transatlantic promotion journey in France in May, or to France in May. One of the aspects rumored to be weighing in front of a Cannes rollout was DiCaprio's desire to return to the festival, where he had a banner experience presenting Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in 2019. The movie turned out to be a box office hit, garnering 10 Academy Award nominations and earning Brad Pitt a Best Supporting Nod, which, by the way, he won for that. Killers of the Flower Moon, a nearly $200 million Western with DiCaprio, Lily Gladstone, Jesse Plemons, Brendan Fraser, and Robert De Niro, would mark Scorsese's first return to Cannes with a film since 1985. That year, he won Best Director, The Palme, for After Hours. Scorsese has a long-standing bond with the French Riviera Festival. Before presiding over the jury in 1998, Scorsese presented some of his most iconic early films in Cannes, notably Taxi Driver, which won the Palme d'Or in 1976, and The King of Comedy, both headlined by De Niro. Having Scorsese and De Niro back on the Cannes red carpet together for a movie would be a significant achievement. Who battled Netflix to premiere The Irishman there in 2019. The film eventually bowed at New York Film Festival, which then was run by Kent Jones, a close associate of the director. Jones started his career as an activist for the Oscar winner and has worked on several of his documentaries since. Apple financed Killers of the Flower Moon after winning an auction for the movie, which had been originally optioned by Paramount. Under the deal, Paramount will be giving the film a wide theatrical release before it launches on the service. But the movie's fate in France hasn't been sealed. France's windowing, or the way it's showing, restrict streamers from, like Apple TV, Netflix, from playing until 15 months after they've been released in theaters. Will Apple be willing to hold back the movie's launch on a service for 15 months? If Apple decides to skip the French theatrical premiere, like Disney did with Strange World because of the windowing rule, Killers of the Flower Moon would only be allowed to play out of competition at Cannes. The French festival has a rule that every film in competition has to be released in French cinemas. There is a slight chance that Cannes, who has a new president, would bend the rules that caused the Fest to miss out on the major Netflix movie since 2017. And it goes on to say that in case Paramount and Apple have not announced a release date for Killers of the Flower Moon or France or anywhere else, according to ComScore, that could push the film's premiere later if a Cannes debut seemed too far ahead or planned the theatrical opening. There are often debates about the wisdom of premiering award season movies at Cannes because some strategists believe it's too early to generate that kind of excitement needed to sustain an Oscar push. However, Cannes has hosted such films as Parasite, which won Best Picture, and current nominees Triangle of Sadness, Top Gun Maverick, and Elvis, which saw their profiles rise. And then it'll go on to say that what it's based off of. So, Killers of the Flower Moon is based off David Graham's nonfiction book and tracks the investigation of serial murders that plagued the Osage Nation during the 1920s after oil was discovered on their land. The murders prompted the newly formed FBI to investigate. The movie was produced by Dan Franklin and Bradley Thomas Adam Paris. And then Cannes is May 16th to the 27th. So, okay, a couple things to say. Number one, I think it's interesting that he wants to get it out now. Not now, but in May. I hope, you know, that this is good just because of the cast, but we've all seen casts that have had relatively great casts, you think, and then the movie flops. So that being said, I think that it's one of those things where this is definitely going to be one of the most anticipated movies of the year. Okay, that goes without saying. I think that when you have a cast like that and you have a director like a Martin Scorsese, who's worked with arguably two of his muses for 45 years, DiCaprio and, you know, De Niro, it's one of those things where you're like, how could this go wrong, right? I'm definitely looking forward to this. I'm absolutely looking forward to this. And I think that this is going to be a movie that is going to do really well. Now, here's the catch. And this goes back to the article. Okay. There is that rule that Apple, that you have to wait 15 months. So the question then becomes, does Apple actually wait 15 months to put this on their streamer? Or, and by the way, it has to play in French theaters. Okay, that those are the rules of the film festival. Or do they just say, yeah, no big deal, and move on? I don't know. Because, I mean, Scorsese is, you know, he's one of those guys that he likes to work and he likes to get his stuff out there. I just can't see waiting 15 months. I just can't. Now, on the flip side of the coin, okay, there's two sides to it. Okay, here's the thing. You have movies like Top Gun Maverick, Elvis and Triangle of Sadness that actually have done well. Okay. And Top Gun is up for Best Picture, and so Elvis is up for Best Picture. And it looks like Austin, for all intentions, it looks like Austin Butler is going to win Best Actor. I gotta believe that they're going to want to get this out there. And with such a big cast, too, Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro, I mean, how can you go wrong? But waiting 15 months, that's going to be the key thing. And the other thing, too, is how long do they keep in the theaters for? Don't forget, I mean, just last year, we had Glass Onion. And Glass Onion was one of those things that the theaters were saying, you know, bring it back in. We want more, because it made $16 million. And Netflix is like, nah, no big deal. So be curious to see how long they keep it in theaters for. But I'm looking forward to this movie just for the simple premise. It is, you know, as I said before, it is Martin Scorsese. It is Leonardo DiCaprio. And it is Robert De Niro. Three of the best actors. I mean, you have two, you know, a generational thing here. I mean, De Niro, DiCaprio, and Scorsese. So I like it. I mean, I hope they release it at Cannes. I can understand why they wouldn't. And, you know, so let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think? Do you think that they're going to go to Cannes Film Festival and release it? Do you think they should wait to release it? Are you excited for this? Did you even know that Martin Scorsese was making another picture? Leave your thoughts down in the comments section and I'll get back to you. Okay, so let's move on to our next story. And so this is an interesting story because I like horror. Now, I'm not as big on horror movies as other people. I mean, I like the older Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, you know, Candyman, you know, Chucky, Child's Play, all those. I love the 80s flicks. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the bloody, I couldn't stand the remakes, so forget about the remakes. They're not for me. But there's one out there. I hadn't even seen this until a couple of years ago. And there's one out there that I hadn't seen. I had not seen the 1985 version, I believe, with Tim Curry. And that's it. It was a phenomenon. So as millions of others, and I did as well, I love it. I think it was really, really good. Now, if you go to the bookstore and try and you buy it, okay, it's about a 700 or 800 page book. Good luck trying to get through it. It's like a dictionary. It's thick as can be. So the reason why I bring this up is because according to THR, HBO Max has ordered an It prequel series called Welcome to Derry. Now, mind you, that is the working title, so it may change. But as it stands right now, it's called Welcome to Derry. And this is from Andy Muschietti, the director of The Flash. That's coming out in June. And we'll get to that story in a couple minutes. So it says, Pennywise the Dancing Clown is coming to HBO Max. The streamer is given a straight-to-series order for a drama based on Stephen King's beloved horror novel, It. Filmmaker Andy Muschietti and Barbara Muschietti, who made this big screen adaptations of It in It Chapter 2, which, by the way, I saw It Chapter 2, and I got to say, I didn't care for it. I didn't mind it. I just thought it was about a half hour too long, and I really didn't like it all that much. So it was one of those things where I went, eh, I like the first one better than the second one. So it goes on to say that the show's working title is Welcome to Derry. Creative details are scarce, except that the series will be a prequel to New Line Cinema's It films, promising to, quote, expand the vision, end quote, of the movies. Foose will write the first episode, which is based on a story by the Muschiettis, and Brad Colbert-Kane will serve as co-showrunners for the project. As teenagers, we took turns reading chapters of Stephen King's It until the thick paperback fell to pieces, the Muschiettis wrote in a statement. It is an epic story that contains multitudes far beyond what we can explore in our It movies. We can't wait to share the depths of Steve's novels and our heart, humor, humanity, and horror. I'm excited that the story of Derry, Maine's most haunted town, is continuing, and I'm glad Andy Muschietti is going to oversee the frightening festivities along with a brain trust that includes his talented sister, Barbara, King wrote. Red balloons all around. It tells the story of a group of friends battling a shape-shifting monster, often appear as a demonic clown, which, by the way, so I'm not afraid of clowns, luckily, okay? I believe this to be true, and you'd have to look this up for me. Somebody in the comment section actually put this in there. I believe that the fear of clowns, okay, is actually, that's Bill Skarsgård, and everybody's hoping he comes back to play Pennywise. I believe the fear of clowns is actually the fourth or fifth biggest thing behind public speaking, the dark, insects, and hearing your own voice. So, I mean, a lot of people cringe. I mean, I'm one of those people where it's like, okay, you know, I do this, you know, trying to do this for a living. So I have to listen to my own voice and see myself on camera. But the thing is, people can't stand their own voice, like on a tape recording or voicemail. It's just one of those things. And it's not a bad thing. It's just one of those things where you go, okay, because you don't hear it that often. So it goes on to say that they're developing the series to return to the world of my all-time favorite horror novel and help build upon a slightly brilliant cinematic character created by Andy and Barbara is more than an opportunity of a lifetime. It's a dream come true, or maybe more appropriately, a nightmare. We're thrilled to continue the iconic franchise with Andy and Barbara Muschietti and several others. The original content of HBO Max said, the prequel will be expanding its storytelling canvas and bring fans deeper into the terrifying, mesmerizing town of Derry. So, and by the way, these were both powerhouses. The first film went on to earn $700 million worldwide, and the sequel grossed $473 million worldwide. So, I love this. I can't wait for this. I loved him as Pennywise, and I think he was amazing as Pennywise. That scene, and I don't have the picture here for you, but that scene where he's standing in the house behind him, and just that look. It's what they're calling the Stanley Kubrick look, right? And it's just like his head's tilted down and his eyes are looking like, oh, shit. This guy's scary as fuck. And when you have kids involved, you know, I mean, it's to terrify them. I love this. I can't wait for this. And I'm not, you know, as I said, It Follows was okay. It was okay. But a half hour too long in my eyes. But I liked it. And it went on and you're like, you know, but I love this. I can't wait for this. And this is going to really knock its socks off. HBO Max. And can we just talk about HBO Max for a minute? They have been, I mean, right now they're taking the lead. As far as, if you're talking about streaming wars, as far as I'm concerned, HBO Max is in the lead. Okay. You have people, right? You have people that say, oh, Netflix is still there. Yeah, they are. But look at what HBO Max has done. In the last 10, 12, 18 months, you've had House of the Dragon. You've had The Last of Us. You're going to have now this It prequel series. Just, they're amazing. The creative team is amazing there. I love them. I hope that this is fantastic, and we're going to wait, you know. Definitely see where this goes. So, guys, let me ask you this question. What do you guys think? Do you like horror films? Did you see it? Did you see It Follows? What did you think of Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise? Are you excited for this? Do me a favor. Leave me your thoughts down in the comment section, and I will get back to you. Okay. So, this is the last story of the day. And speaking of Andy Muschietti, who's going on to do great things with this, there is a little movie coming out in June. And it's called The Flash. And this movie is one of the most divisive but interesting films we're going to have this summer. And I got to be honest, I'm interested. Forget about the whole Ezra Miller situation. I'm interested. Okay. So here's the reason why this is an interesting story. Because according to Deadline, the Flash is eyeing a CinemaCon preview. So DC's long anticipated superhero pick, The Flash, will be getting his first ever public screening at CinemaCon 2023. And that's only a little bit away. The debut screening is set to take place April 25th. So we're 2 months out from this being debuted at CinemaCon. Ahead of Warner Brothers' official slate at the Las Vegas Confab showcasing the most promising up-and-coming big screen titles for theater owners. The up-and-coming film from director Andy Muschietti, who we were just talking about for It, has been long dogged by controversy surrounding star Ezra Miller, who has run into one legal issue after another over the last couple of years, most recently pleading to an unlawful trespassing in Vermont and accepting 1 year of probation along with a $500 fine. But the project is one that new DC studio chiefs James Gunn and Peter Safran are high on, which is said to have the potential to help lay the groundwork for the bigger and better era of the DCU. Pick watch as Barry Allen, Ezra Miller, uses his super speed to change the past, but his attempt to save his family creates a world without superheroes, forcing him to race for his life in order to save the future. Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, Sacha Cao, Kiersey Clemons, Ron Livingston, and Michael Shannon are amongst the others starring the title, headlining theaters on June 16th. after multiple delays brought on by COVID and other circumstances. Christian Hunston wrote the script with Barbara Muschietti and Michael Drisco serving as producers. The next edition of CinemaCon, which most recently touted titles, including 2022 success Top Gun Maverick, is set to take place between April 24th and the 27th. So let's talk about this, because this is important. I think that the movie's finally going to be shown, right? This is a movie that has been on the shelf for the better part of 18 months. Partially because of COVID, partially because of, we'll just call it what it is, Ezra's legal troubles. And I think that when you have, that, it doesn't help you at all. All of that being said, this next Mission Impossible, which is my most anticipated film, okay, this has got to be the second most anticipated film, just because of the wait, just because of the cameos, just because of all of this stuff that is really, really going to come to the forefront. And, okay, it's going to be a whole reboot. We can finally end this whole conversation. I'm interested. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm interested in this. I think that, you know, and that's the thing. We're all going to be on the, you know, pins and needles of how the marketing's done, right? How are they going to promote this book? Because it sure as hell not going to use Ezra Miller. Okay. Now, maybe they might use, I mean, this is probably going to be a Michael Keaton heavy junket push, which is fine. So, because I'm sure he's going to be, you know, in the film quite a bit. Now, the other thing too is this is tested really well. Unlike Aquaman 2, which is a complete disaster, this is tested really, really strong and really, really well. And okay. So I think that it will be interesting to see what happens with this and how it works and what do they do. I'm not going to put a number on how much I think it's going to make, because June is packed. Okay. June is packed. And the thing is that, you know, you can say, oh, well, this is going to make, nobody has any idea. Nobody has any idea. Now, what I do know is this movie cost about $250 million to make. So, and they're going to have a lot of to deal with. They got a lot to deal with. Because in the beginning of May, you've got a little movie called Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And then you've got Fast X. And then there's a couple of weeks off, okay? And then you've got Across the Spider-Verse. And then you have Transformers. So you're going to have four films before you're even getting out of the blocks. Okay? So I don't know. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see how that works and what happens with that. But I am interested. The fact that they are premiering it at CinemaCon 2 months away is huge. It's huge. I'm not going to lie to you. It's huge, because the fact is that everybody has been dying to see this movie. Dying. I mean, June 16th cannot get here fast enough. It just can't get here fast enough. So they want to see this movie as much as everybody else. And I'll be honest with you, too. I think Warner Brothers wants this out, too. They're tired of the controversy. They're tired of the whole Ezra Miller thing. They're tired of all the reshoots. They're tired of all the bullshit behind it. So I think this is one of those things where they just say, you know what? Let's get this out. Let's just make the money. Take the hit if we have to. But let's just get this out. I'm excited for it. I really, really, really am. And it's one of those things where I'll tell you, I can't wait. And so I think that, you know, it's going to be now. Here's what I'll say. Once this is out, once this has done its thing, it's all going to go away. People will forget about this. And it's just, that's just it. So, okay, guys. So let me ask you, I need to ask you this, guys. What do you guys think about The Flash? Are you excited for The Flash? Can you wait? Are you eager as everybody else to see The Flash? Do you want Ezra Miller to do press? If not, who do you want to do the press? Leave your thoughts down in the comments and we'll get back to you. Okay, so that's all for the show today. But here is what we have coming up. And this, we have so much stuff coming up on the channel for you guys. It's insane. Here's what I would ask. Hit that like and hit that subscribe button. And here's the reason why. So this week, right after the episode, we will be doing another stream. Kyle, myself, Destiny, Kit, Tyler might be there. We'll be doing another live stream of The Last of Us Left Behind. According to what I've heard, the episode is 46 minutes. Now, anybody who's not familiar with Left Behind, it is the DLC of The Last of Us. So that's important to know. They're actually going to go back and cover some of the DLC, and that's going to be good. I can't wait for that. So we've already had Ant-Man come out, and we've already go check out our spoiler cast for that. Creed 3. So this is when the fun's going to really start, in March. So Kyle and myself are going to be doing what we're calling Creed Week. Okay? Creed Week. And Creed Week is going to be... Kyle's a beast. He's a beast, okay? He is doing all of the Rocky movies. I don't know. He said he was on Rocky 3 on our last show, so I don't know if he's on Rocky 5 or... I'd have to ask him. But we are going to be doing and rewatching all of the Creed movies. So this upcoming week, we're going to be doing all of the Creed movies. Creed, Creed 2, and then it's released on the 3rd. We're going to be doing the spoiler cast on the 4th, just so everybody can get acclimated to it. And then come back for the 5th, and we'll be doing the Last of Us spoiler cast there. So then we have Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's going to kick off the summer. Not much else you can say about this. James Gunn is, and as well should be, excited for this. I can't wait for this, as millions of other people can't wait for this. That's going to be a blast. You know, it'll be interesting to see who lives and who dies and what the story is and all that good stuff. June 2nd. So I should say this. Now he's going to go see Fast 10, and he'll probably cover that on his channel. And you want to go to subscribe over his channel, and he'll probably cover that. So as I said, we got Guardians there. I'm not going to do it here. We're not going to do that. So starting in June, we've got Across the Spider-Verse, which is going to be another fantastic movie. Everybody that I've talked to, and I mean almost everybody I've talked to, said this is their favorite Spider-Man movie. They'll go Spider-Man, No Way Home, and the O2 version, or one of those, or Spider-Man 2. Those are usually in their top five. So we're going to be covering that on June 2nd. Now, I have to see the first one. So as part of the first reactions, I will be seeing that in May. So I can go in that in June. The 9th, we've got Transformers Rise of the Beast. Now, granted, I'll say one thing about this. I checked out a long, long, long time ago on this franchise. But it's one of those, okay, it is what it is. I'm excited for it. I grew up with Transformers. Okay. I remember being a little, you know, kid having all of the Transformers, Optimus Prime, Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave, all those guys. I'm really curious to see. It's gotten so out there, but it's going to be fun. The Flash. We were just talking about The Flash. This is going to be a blast. And by the way, guys, we're doing spoiler cast for all these movies. So we're going to have a very, very, very busy summer. But yeah, so we're going to get The Flash on the 16th. Can't wait for this. I think it's going to be fun. I really do. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I've always said it. I still hate that title. But that's what they're going with. Okie dokie. It cost them $297 million to make. A lot of de-aging and everything else. I hope it's good. I haven't seen Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I never saw that. Which I never saw it. So I hope this is good. They're bringing things back, and indie being indie, so that's going to be fun. I hope it's good. This is the one I'm really looking forward to. Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning. And I think what we're going to do, and I was talking with Kyle about this, and guys, what do you think? Leave us your thoughts in the comments about this. We're going to do a whole Mission Impossible rewatch. Every single one of them. From the first Mission Impossible, the 1996 one with Brian De Palma directed, all the way up to Dead Reckoning. Because I think that would be really, really cool. I can't wait. I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. Now, I should say that, we've got another couple of movies coming out. So we're going to be doing the spoiler cast for this. And Oppenheimer, that's coming out the next week. Now, I should say one more thing. We do have Barbie coming out the same day as Oppenheimer. I'll be curious to see if they decide to move it or not. We'll see. We'll see. I think they will. I mean, I just, for what it is, and I have no doubt Greta Gerwig's going to crush it with Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie. No doubt in my mind. I just don't know if they're – this is the one that people are going to want to see. That's just me. Now, I'm totally – and I'm not trying to be a chauvinist or anything else. That's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm just saying for market-wise, they would be better off moving it to another date, even if it's the next week, even if they move it to a week later. So – because Christopher Nolan is one of those filmmakers. He's like a Denis Villeneuve. He's like a Martin Scorsese. He just has you, and, like a Spielberg almost. When they say directed by, and you say Christopher, okay, I'm going to go see that, regardless of whether it's good or not. So those are all the spoiler casts we're going to be doing for the whole summer. And there's a couple other movies coming out in August, but we're going to be busy, busy, busy. Coming up, so don't forget, coming up, we do have, and I'm going to sit down, I promise I'm going to sit down and watch in the next 6 days, is Fargo. So you guys are going to get the first reaction for Fargo. I have not seen it. I will sit down and watch it very soon, record this, maybe even live stream it, and that way you guys can see that. Our March perfect movies. Don't forget, we've got a ton of perfect movies coming to you this year. We've already done Silence of the Lambs. We've already done Captain America Winter Soldier. Heat will be in. Matter of fact, I've got the list right here. Heat will be in March. So then what you're going to get is The Dark Knight. These are just some of the movies we're going to be doing for the Perfect Movie Series. The Dark Knight, Pulp Fiction, The Social Network, Skyfall, and Spotlight, as well as several others. So guys, stay tuned for that. We've got the first reaction movies. As I said, I'm going to be sitting down to watch Fargo. We have Blade Runner 2049, No Country for Old Men, American Psycho, 2001 A Space Odyssey, The Irishman, These are all movies I'm going to sit down and watch and give my first reaction about, because it's one of those things where I can't wait to watch some of these movies. And I can't, there's so much. And don't, guys, I'm totally missing out on something else. Not only are we doing Creed Week, we're going to be doing The Mandalorian. So I'm going to be sitting down in the next week. We've got about a week before it airs. And I'm going to be watching the first two seasons of The Mandalorian, getting caught up. And we are going to be doing spoiler casts for every single episode. So when I tell you the first 2 weeks of March are going to be crazy, they're going to be chaotic crazy. So what we'll do is, because, and I don't know if they're going to change the release date on it, probably not. March 1st is when the first episode airs. We're probably going to be doing it that day or the next day. And then we're, you know, as that week progresses, we're going to be doing Creed and we're going to be doing a bunch of others. And then every week after that. So don't forget too, we've got The Last of Us. Okay. On this Sunday. And we have the finale of that is actually on Oscar night. So, and then we have all this stuff. So that's going to run into April, and then we're going to go right into May with all the spoiler casts I just showed you guys. And guys, hit that like and subscribe button. You're going to want to come back here because it's going to be a ton of fun. And not to mention, we're going to get special guests on and interviews and all this good stuff. So, yeah, and that's what Kyle and I want, is to try and get this out to the masses for everybody. So, and if you like this, okay, check out, you know, all of our spoiler casts, check out all of our other videos, check out, you know, the shows, check out everything we have there, because if you like movies, this is the place to be. Okay, guys. So that is going to do it for today. So do the three things that everybody needs to do. Okay. One is be safe. Two is be careful. And three is to have a great day. Oh, and by the way, come back next time. All right, guys. Take care. I'm David Steele, and you have been watching Real Talks. Bye-bye, guys.